So Len Cabral and storytelling are two words that really go together and have for a long time. And you seem to come to it with a kind of passion and naturalness that indicates that it's just sort of like a born ability, or I'm not sure that's true, but is this something that you developed early on, or?
Yeah, it's something that came to me. I don't know, you know, some people said, oh, did you always want to be a storyteller when you grew up? I said, when I was young, I'm a regular boy. I wanted to be a fireman or a baseball player or a basketball player. Yeah. I didn't know about storytelling. And then when I went to school at Rhode Island College, I was fortunate enough to work with some wonderful professors there in early childhood development in children's literature. And at the same time, I was working in a daycare center. So I was able to, you know, put to practice what I was learning. And actually, a lot of stuff that I learned by doing it, I started reading in books after I brought the books. And so it was just something that I knew was something I enjoyed doing, and it was important. Something I said years ago, and sometimes people still quote me when I say it, but this was when I first started out in the late 70s, early 80s. I was at a conference, and I said, telling stories, we're saving the world a child at a time. And but people, you know.
What do you mean by that exactly?
I mean,
how does it save?
Well, children have rough spots in their life, and if we can communicate with them by sharing stories, maybe there's something in the story that can help them get over the rough spots in their lives. Maybe they'll learn about communicating, about becoming better listeners. And I felt that if adults told stories to their children, you know, reading stories when they're young and talking to them when they're young and telling them stories, and then when the children become teenagers and sometimes that line of communication gets broken, we might refer back to the stories that we used to share. And so maybe that child will say, I could always talk to my dad because we always told us stories and we always, you know, told stories together. I listened to him tell me stories and he listened to me tell stories and I asked questions about the stories. So I had dialogue between the parents so that when, you know, children go through their rough years, they still have hopefully they'll still have a line of communication with the adults that they're close with.
Let me just clarify one thing here, because when people see you tell stories, it's this incredible art, you know? It's theatrical, it's animated, it's dynamic, it has all of these elements of magical is what some people call it. And I'm not just saying that to compliment you. I'm just trying to give you an idea of the standard that I think people think of when you say storytelling is good and everybody should tell stories. It's like, I can't tell a story that way. So like I'd be lousy at telling a story that way. So why, you know, I would start the story and then interrupt myself and lose my train of thought and jump around. But is that all right?
Well, you know, telling stories, a lot of people think when they're telling a story, it has to be an epic. You know, like sometimes parents will say, oh, I couldn't tell a story because I couldn't remember a story. I couldn't, you know, and when the kids ask them for a story and they go, oh, I'll tell you one later, because they think that their child is asking for an epic, and they're really not. They're just asking for a story about what's that scar on you? How'd you get that scar on your arm? You know, did you ever step on a nail, Dad? Mom, did you ever get frightened? You know, these are the small stories, little things that people think, oh, that's just a small story. But it's not small when you're sharing it with a child. But the thing, too, is sometimes not to get in the way of a story. You know, sometimes people get in the way of a story because they get sidetracked or they start to explain something which doesn't need to be explained. Just tell the story. And most of all, don't let truth get in the way of a good story. That's something you want to remember.
So Len, you were kind enough to help us put together Saturday night at this event.
Oh, I'll tell you.
If you just talk a little bit about some of the people that we've been fortunate enough to attract to and join us.
You know, at this event, there's so many people from different places on this planet. And that's what's going to make it a real salad bowl. because there's going to be African music, there's going to be Middle Eastern music, Armenian music, there's going to be Latino, there's going to be jazz, and then, of course, there's going to be ERB. And we're working on a finale that's just going to blow the roof off the place.
Wow, sounds great.
And just and that's just a small segment of the wonderful, talented artists that we have living here in Rhode Island.
So thank you. So this, Len, we will be seeing you again May 19th.
May 19th.
At the Waterfire Arts Center.
Yeah.
Celebrating Sound and Vision, our celebration of 20 years. And thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's a real pleasure. And I'm looking forward to it. And I hope a lot of people come. Because if they don't, they're going to be sad.
Thank you, Len.
You're welcome.